Church of Christ is one foundation. Jesus Christ, the Lord. So we want to talk about that today. We do want to talk about upon this rock. That's the rock that Jesus spoke of, which He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And that church was built upon the profession that Peter gave that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the rock upon which He built that church. And so we want to talk about the church of Jesus Christ, the one true church. And when we talk about this church, we really need to talk about a word in Greek that is a very simple word, aionios, and it's the word that means everlasting. It means everlasting. Thayer says that this word, aionios, it means without beginning or end, that which already has been and always will be. That's describing our God. And it tells us that without end is what everlasting means. It means never to cease. And so, why is that important as an introduction to talking about the church? Because there's only one church that Jesus built. And that one church is an everlasting church. And the reason it's so important is because it's appointed unto all men to die. And after that, the judgment. Every person has to die once. Assuming that the Lord doesn't come back while I'm speaking. And we pray, Lord, come. Because I think you'd rather hear Him than me. I know I would. But it is appointed unto all of us to die once, and after that, we will face judgment. And that's why it's so significant, because there are many people today who are outside of the body of Christ. They're outside of the church. And when we die outside of Christ, we go to a place called Hades. And in that place, and we've had a lesson on this before, that's a place where everyone eventually will be. And Hades is not heaven, or rather hell. Hades is a place where you wait for that judgment. And after that, those people who are outside of Christ will face the lake of fire. They will be judged. And that's called the second death. And so it's so important to understand what the church is and why we need to be in that one everlasting church. That one church that will be upon the face of this earth until the Lord comes. Because outside of Christ, one is born. We're all born. And one will die. We all will die. And then we await that second death upon judgment if we are outside of that church. And I would put it to you that you cannot come into that church by going through those doors. You might learn about that church coming through those doors. You might be one who responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ from a good heart and are baptized into that church, into that body of Christ. But it's a spiritual matter. Those who are in Christ, those who have believed in Christ, they have everlasting life. And those are the ones who will eventually be inside that body of Christ. Those are the happy ones. They're also, when they die, they go to Hades, but they go to a place called paradise, not torment. And so it's so important, because in that place called paradise, you're not awaiting the second death. You're waiting the resurrection so you can be taken up to heaven. When we think of the time of eternity, the song Amazing Grace says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You think about that. When people pass from this life into the next, and they wait until the day of judgment, and they're deemed to be a part of God's family in His church, and we go off into heaven, and there's no such thing as time. One day is the same as 1,000 days. And we could be there 10,000 years based on our time, but it doesn't matter. It's as though we just started. So it's so important for us to think in terms like that. In John chapter 8 and verse 51, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, anyone who keeps my word shall never see death." Think about that. Never see death. There's a couple of amens in the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 7. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever." And Paul said, "Amen." In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15 and 16, "To the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man can see, to whom be honor and glory, everlasting power." And Paul said, "Amen." Isn't that amazing? That's what we need to be thinking about. Here's a timeline now of your life. Now, you're born, and we all know that, but it's not a timeline of life, it's a timeline of the church. If you look up here, you'll see the church. I hope you can read that. It's in the very beginning of time. Of the church was 32 A.D. The church was established in Pentecost on that time. And we can read about that in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 47. And that's when the church began. It didn't exist before that, but it has existed ever since that. That was done in Jerusalem. When we think of what Micah said in chapter 4, "Many nations shall come, and they shall say, come, let us go up to the mountains, to the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways." But he goes on to say, "And we shall walk in His paths, for out of Zion the law shall come forth, but the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem." And that's where that church was established. That was the prophecy. Out of Jerusalem is where the word of the Lord came forth. The head of that church is Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and 18. He is the head of the church, which is the body. And that church, again, is everlasting. Every people, we will come to that. And that we will be part of that everlasting kingdom of God, he says, that is forever and ever. And so this is the church that we want to be a part of. And one day this earthly kingdom that Jesus has set up will be delivered up to the Father in heaven, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 24. When all things come to an end in this world, this church that has been established by Jesus will be drawn up into heaven. And the whole world, everything in the world will be destroyed. The devil and those who follow him will be cast into the lake of fire, which burns forever. And that's why it's so important to be sure that you're in that church. Because there are many, many churches in this world today. Hades and torment. You have two choices. Or Hades and paradise and everlasting life. Being delivered up to the Father. And so, the church it did have a beginning, it will have an end, but that end will simply be the end on this earth. And then it will be taken up into heaven eternal. Upon this rock, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And we realize He's not the only one who said that. Jesus is not the only one who said, "I'll build a church." He's not the only one. Boniface III, in 606 A.D., built a church. He called it the Church at Rome. Is the Roman Catholic Church. John Calvin in 1707 built a church. And that was eventually called the Presbyterian Church. And there were other churches that are offshoots of that. John and Charles Wesley, they built the Methodist Church. And William Moore Hutchinson, he was the one who established the idea of Pentecostalism, the apostolic and Pentecostal churches. And Daniel Powell Williams, he built a church in 1916. So there's a lot of different churches, and this is just, such a short list of the 36,000 now churches that are in the world that all claim to be from Jesus. Why are so many people confused? Because there are so many people teaching false doctrines. They're not standing upon the rock of Christ, which is His Word. in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21 and following, Jesus said, "Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I shall liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the winds blew, and the floods came, and they beat upon that house, and it did not fall because it was founded upon the rock." But in this world today, we have so many people who whoever hears His words and they don't do them. And the rains descended and they built their house rather on a sand, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that house and it did fall. It fell. It wasn't founded upon the rock. And so Jesus isn't the only one who built a church, but He's the only church that's going to be delivered up to God in heaven. Now this, according to the United Nations, says there are over 23,000, this is a direct quote, 23,000 competing and often contradictory denominations worldwide, speaking strictly of Christian denominations, and that was in 1989. And that's changed. In 2001, the number was over 33,000, according to David Barrett. Individual, distinct denominations. Now, these can't lead you to heaven. And we need to be serious about that and be sober about that. Because I think that it would be unsensible to decide that I want to go to torment and I want to go to hell. No reasonable person would actually think that way. But if we follow somebody who's on that road, on that path, that's exactly where we will end up. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. You know, in that text in Psalm, if you look at that, in verse 3, it's interesting that the Lord, He's talking about building a house and so on. And in verse 3 down there, He changes it down to the subject of children. And He says that children are a heritage from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children's of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. Just think how happy our Father in heaven is and how full His quiver is with you. How happy we make the Lord in heaven by filling His quiver with the souls. And how happy He is when we go out and try to find more arrows, more souls to put into that quiver as time goes on. And we do that by the foundation of truth, the Word of God. You know, there are two truths revealed here, very succinctly. One truth, of course, is that you can build a house without God. And we've proven this by all these Charles Wesley and Calvin and all these others, Boniface III, they all built a house. But when we turn to the Bible, to the Scripture, to the rock of truth, we can very easily prove that those houses aren't built on the foundation of Christ. We don't have priests. We don't believe in sprinkling and pouring and baptizing babies and all kinds of entertainment and kitchens and dining halls and family life centers. And that's what many of these churches have. And they do get people excited. We talked a moment ago about feeling good, and some people confuse spiritual good feeling and joy, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, and the peace that comes from the Lord. They confuse that with feelings and emotions that come from our own hearts. I remember a conversation with a fella even yesterday who told me that he had talked to somebody and this fellow had a problem with his marriage and he divorced, and he told his good friend that he did not have the right to remarry. And his friend said, "Well, you just go out and remarry. Don't listen to those people in that church." He says, "I'm not listening to the people in the church. I'm listening to God." He told me that. And then he said, "Well, then change churches." You see, that's how the world is. We look at the Bible. The Bible tells us what the church is and how God's people are to act and respond and live in righteousness And when somebody doesn't like what it says, they just say, well, change churches. Go to one that will accept what you think. So we can build a church without the Lord. We can create our own doctrine. We can have our own ideas about things. And we can decide what we want in that church. And it becomes our church. But this text also implies very clearly, unless the Lord builds the house, it implies that there you can be a part of a house that's built according to the pattern that God has laid forth. Will that pattern please everyone? Of course not. We don't have a band and an orchestra. Many people have told me in the past, I told you many times about my neighbor lady who told me, you people in the Church of Christ, you're dead. You can't even, there's no way you can worship God without instruments. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm happy. I rejoice because I know that the Lord, I pray and know that the Lord is pleased with my worship, with your worship. With a pattern that we seem to follow here that's in the Scripture. And that should make anybody happy to know that's what we're doing. In the book of Romans in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul made it very clear what our duty is. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And if we take that literally, our bodies are to be made as a holy, acceptable sacrifice and service to God and not to man. You see that? By the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on in verse 2 to say, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to Charles and Stanley Wesley. Don't be conformed to Calvinism. Don't be conformed to Catholicism, to Lutheranism or Methodism or the Baptistism, if that's a term. But be conformed to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And so there are two churches we can build. We can build our own church, which is according to the will of me, and we can follow the will of me, or we can build a church that it was established by Christ, that was built upon according to the pattern. We can become a part of that church that Jesus built. And we can be living sacrifices, and we can spend our lives being transformed to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You have the choice. And so, you know, it implies that you can build a house without the Lord. You can take away from His Word. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, when Moses was talking to the people and he presented the Word of God to them, reviewing the law of the Lord, those Ten Commandments. And Moses said, you shall not add to nor take away from the Word which I command you this day, so that you may keep the Word of the Lord, the law of God, the commandments which I command you this day. You can't add to or take away. So we can build our own house simply by adding to or taking away from God's Word. Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, he says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, that you shall not add to nor take away. So we can do that. Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that's the people who are building their own fashions, their own churches, in their own names, and after their own ways. And we don't want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of His church. I will build my church, 33,000 plus competing and often contradictory denominations. That's proof in itself that there are churches that are different. And it isn't just different in name. We have one church on one corner, one church on another corner, and those two churches don't worship together. Why? Because they have different doctrine, different teaching, different manners, different ways to approach God. There's only one way to approach God, in spirit and truth, is what Jesus said. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In 2 John 9, we're very clearly told that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. And when you ask the question, what is the doctrine of Christ? The answer is doctrine means teaching. So you can simply replace that with the word teaching. Now, the churches today have something called the core gospel. They've replaced the word doctrine with events. Literally, they've changed that. They say that what it actually says is that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the events of Christ, in the events of His life, that He was born of a virgin, suffered, and was crucified, dead and buried, and arose from the grave 3 days later, victorious over sin and death, and now He sits at the right hand of God the Father. They bring all of that into one little short statement as the events of Christ. But that isn't what it says, is it? It says doctrine. You can look up that word doctrine anywhere in any dictionary, and it means teaching. The teaching, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The church has to abide in the teaching of Christ. And so in Matthew chapter 15, 8 and 9, when He said that, you know, they come to Me with their mouth, they honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. They're building their own path. It implies that you really have one of two choices. But when we think about the Lord's church, and we think about the Word of God, and we think about Spirit and truth worship, and you think about all the things that are going on in this world today, all the different evangelists who are teaching so many different contrary messages, so many men that are being raised up in honor because of who they are and what they say, people that have great riches beyond imagination. We had a Bible study yesterday, our first community Bible study, and we were excited. I think if I remember right, there was 11 people there. Many members of the church supported. We had two visitors who came in and actually signed up for a Bible study. And so we were excited that we're getting that word out in more than one way. But you know, they've been part of a congregational church, a Catholic church, and they're confused. And so we want to make sure that people aren't confused. We want to stand upon the rock of Christ. We want to believe the things that Jesus said clearly. We really have two choices. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus says something so simple and so clear. It is almost impossible to confuse it with any other language. Anybody who is a math student of math should be able to understand it. People, a student of grammar should understand it. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Simple, straightforward statement. And if you don't believe that, it says that he who does not believe will be condemned. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And I ask the question, according to the words of Jesus, who is it that will be saved? Now, the world will tell you you're saved if you believe and then you can be baptized. There are some churches who teach that you have to be baptized and you're saved and then you learn to believe. But what did Jesus say? Who are the saved? He said the saved are the people who believe and are baptized. And listen, don't be confused. Acts 22:16 tells us baptism washes away our sins. Baptism is not an outward sign of an inward grace. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 tells us that baptism is for the remission of sins. And in verse 47 of chapter 2, it tells us that those who were baptized, in 42, it tells us they were added to the church. In 47, it tells us that those people were gladly baptized. They were added to the church daily. Baptism is something that puts us into Christ. We have two choices here. We can die and go into torment and eventually be cast into the lake of fire. We can be with the devil and his, cast into that lake of fire and brimstone, tormented day and night forever. Or, as Jesus said, that they will go away into everlasting punishment, those who are not part of His church. Or we can have a second choice. When we die, We can go into Hades in a place called paradise, where Jesus said He will deliver these eventually to the Father up in heaven. They will be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming, and to enter the joy of the Lord, to be with righteous in eternal life. And God will wipe away every tear and from every eye. There's no more death, no more crying, and there shall be no more pain, and the former things have passed away. You see, we really have two choices. We have two choices. There's only one way to get into Christ, according to the Bible. In Galatians 3:27, it tells us that as many of us have been baptized into Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4, we're told that as many of us have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And in that sense, we have the baptism where we're dead and buried with Christ. Dead and buried in the same way in which Jesus was dead and buried. And that's where we come in contact with the saving blood. Now you see, that's important. Because His blood was shed upon the cross, and His blood is what saves us. And we come in contact with that blood according to His plan. And so we're baptized into His death, and as He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also are raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what baptism is. That's what the churches should be teaching. Now, I've been told many, many times by many denominational preachers that, you know, you talk too much about baptism. And all I do is tell them you talk too little. It is certainly in the Bible. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe this day? Do you want to be a part of the church that Jesus will deliver up to the Father? I hope you do. We want to keep the teaching of Jesus Christ and not the doctrine of men. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He told us in Romans 6:3-4 and in Galatians 3:26-7 how to be a part of that, how to be put into that body, that church. There's two choices. We have one body that's the body of Christ, and we have another body which is the body of man. And then we have a choice of who we're going to be baptized into. Are we going to be baptized over here into Jesus Christ? Is that where we want to be? Waiting for eternity? Or are we going to be baptized over on the other side into man, which will be cast into the lake of fire eventually? It's your choice. Two choices. Which choice will you make? You have that opportunity right now. The church is here to help you in any way that it can. If you need the prayer of the church, we're welcoming you to come forward and sit in a pew. If you wish to be baptized today into Christ, we also invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.